Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salver!
Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth back. Thank you guys so much for coming tonight.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but I was gone for 3 weeks.
What?
I was out of town. Did you
know? Who was?
Where
were you?
Me, the third. I'm the third guy, the one of the three
what?
Guys.
Oh, that's so weird. I didn't notice because the show ran so smoothly.
Oh! That's really weird. Wow. I usually help. I think how did you function without me?
It was awesome. Me and Alex got along. We were able to make
it. It was
points.
Funny. What was that word we used? It was heaven.
Yeah!
I don't know that word.
Speaking of heaven, you were kind of high up in the United States.
Right? I was. I was in...
Transition.
Yeah, nice. Thanks, Boothman. I was in Alaska for 3 weeks.
How was it?
Doing a sketch comedy show up there. It was good. About the history of Alaska.
Yeah, how was the comic book culture though?
Rich.
How was Sarah Palin?
Did see her. We were supposed to do a date in Wasilla, but we didn't end up doing it.
Wait, you were supposed to have a date with her?
Yeah, I was supposed to go on a date with her. She dates anyone from the lower 48.
Wow,
it's like a governor thing up there. It's a real.
Sorry, that didn't work
it's
out.
It's a little too sexually aggressive.
Well, you got to get your warmth where you can.
Yeah, indeed.
I don't actually know anything about Alaska.
Obviously. I toured around with Patsy Walker Hellcat for a little bit.
Nice.
Which was nice.
Did you ride one of those dog sleds and stuff?
Yeah.
Sure. Didn't you say that there were some kids that recognized
In Homer, which is where the town where Jewel is from.
Nobody.
Okay, that's fine. No, that's fine. You don't need to enjoy that.
Jewel fans, yeah!
Pick up Pieces of You, great album. At least I thought so in high school. In her town.
That says a lot.
Jewel somewhere in Alaska is like, somebody just said my name.
Well, actually, it's funny. We
First
were
time in 10 years.
We were in a bar. I don't think she lives up there still. She's famous. But I was in a bar, and Jewel's brother was playing bass in this random bar band.
How are his teeth?
Also messed up. I can say that. Having examined them. We're getting into some real truthful things. In Homer, though, after the show, three 10-year-old kids came up to me after the show and were like, I know you from the comic book internet. And I was like, yeah!
Wait, in a bar?
No, in the theater.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a real flexible state. Things happen up there.
Okay. Well, you know what they say, what happens in Alaska, you tell in front of an audience.
Yes.
Guys, we have a great show
for
you tonight.
Do.
I am very excited about our guests, so let's not waste any more time.
No more bullshit!
No more further ado. Let us welcome them out, you guys, right now. Ladies and gentlemen, here are our guests, John Zito, Takashi Yama, and Jody Drone! Jody Drone!
Yeah!
You butchered everybody!
Guys, I'm sorry. I messed up your names. I apologize.
Went out of order.
Yes, and I went out of order.
And you went out of order.
We were lined up.
You're all friends here, though.
Yes.
Pretty intimidating, so.
Yeah. No, this is actually the most nervous I've ever been at a show.
Yeah.
That's not true.
No, it's true. He sweats a lot.
Yeah, you'll see it later, eventually, when we're all washed away. thank you guys so much for coming. So let's talk about your web comic, first, Black Cherry Bombshells. You guys want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah.
Sure. We are co-writers. We are a writing team, duo. Black Cherry Bombshells is on Zuna Comics. It's about girl gangs and zombies.
Sweet.
Expand. Johnny?
It's set in post-apocalyptic Las Vegas, and the biggest gangster in town is a female cross-dressing kung fu Elvis impersonator, the woman they call the King. You can check it out every Monday and Wednesday on Zuna Comics at blackcherrybombshells.com.
So,
writing duo.
It's clear.
So, as we ask pretty much every Zuna guest who comes on the show, how did you guys get hooked up? Did you submit? Did you get asked?
We
submitted.
Yeah, we submitted. We've written together since college, the short film thing, trying to be filmmakers thing, and then got into writing sketch comedy stuff for people in Philly, and got involved in the competition.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. And you're going to be the third graphic novel from Superman, right?
Third, fourth. Yeah, they're supposed to be coming out quarterly. Look for Bayou. It's coming out sometime in the next month or two. Which was the flagship title that Zuda launched with. But yeah, the first couple of titles are slated to come out as books over the next year or two. And hopefully
May,
the economy holds up.
I believe May, the first one comes out.
Yeah.
The Zuda guys seem to be a tight-knit group, kind of,
as a matter of fact.
But like, you guys are just promoting Bayou, another book, but obviously not yours, but that's great. Well, how did that come about that you guys are all so tight?
We're a community, a small, I mean, we're the small imprint in the huge company. We're DC's little
kid brother or whatever.
Yeah.
We go to the conventions and everybody's really nice to us. The bigger talents are all like, oh, let's show you how to do it. And so we all get together and we make sure to follow them around.
Yeah, but you're secretly working against them, right?
We're subverting them. Yeah.
Well, let me say, like, when you work with like other guys, like two other guys for a long time, you develop a friendship?
More like a competition, like an animosity kind of thing.
Oh, I know animosity.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know this friendship thing.
Yeah.
Is that a German word? Freundship?
Tell us a little bit about the plan for Black Cherry Bombshells. Is it ongoing? Do you have an end in sight for it?
We will write it until they stop asking us to be.
That's a great plan.
We have an ongoing. We have many seasons set up already. We're in our second season right now. The third season will wrap up into the full book, but we have about six seasons set up in our long plot, and we
senseless ramblings of yelling at each other.
Senseless ramblings.
Yeah. We know things that we'd like to get to, but we have like hard set like another year or two worth of material.
How much of an adjustment is it in your storytelling to go to the Zuda format, which, for those of you who don't know, is horizontal page like this on the computer, a slightly smaller panel count, I think, than a regular comic book page like this.
Sure. Ours comes out once, every Monday and every Wednesday, Monday and Wednesday, so we write in the kind of, you read a one page as a whole story.
Beginning, like middle, cliffhanger.
Like each page, yeah.
And then each page brings you into the next one, hopefully, and that they'll read well together, collected. But we came to doing Black Cherry Bombshells, doing it in that format, and previous to that, we didn't do much comic book writing work. So we learned the whole setup from scratch with the other guys who had come through the competition a couple of months before us, like timing and the value and whatnot.
Well, I think this is a good chance to turn to our next slide, which is a panel, actually an entire
splash
page. Bring down the
shorts a little bit.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on here.
From the first season, and the character with the blonde hair is Regina, the character with the black hair is Megan, and they were breaking into Caesar's palace to steal
Tom Jones' wet bar.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's girl gang, so they're money. Booze is like their currency, sort of like.
And Tom Jones' wet bar is like four knots.
That's a nice score.
I just know that from personal experience.
Oh, I've got leopard skin and.
You're speaking my
liquor.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you're doing something really interesting here with, you have various points of the action going on in the same panel.
This one we did like a whole splash page, and Sasha, our artist, Sasha Borisish. That might actually be German. We told her we wanted this scene, and she was like, how about a whole splash page, and I'll draw 1,000 characters just running around. And we're like, yeah. Whatever conveys the movement, whatever conveys the motion.
And you were like, yeah, take what we got.
Yeah, make us look like geniuses. And she just went wild with it. And each page can be its own thing. I mean, we've done things that look like Thomas Nast cartoons to get the idea across in one page.
And it comes out so often, we produce so many pages for it. It's like we get to be a little more experimental with things. The Night Owl guys, there's an Asepia color mostly, now they just went to another universe, and now it's in color, like Olive, Wizard of Oz.
That's creepy.
Very creepy. Laugh. Yeah, you introduce it constantly. That you get to be a little more experimental, like smell-o-vision page. You know, like,
cool.
You
know, we have a team, so everybody gets to bring their.
Well, what's that? Here, let's bring the lights back up, James, please. It's getting a little too romantic. tell us what's coming out, though, with the strip. What's plug something that'll get people excited to check it out.
We are driving to San Diego this year for San Diego Comic Con. Video blogging the entire trip. John and I, one car, and my plan is I want to start in Philadelphia with a piece of yarn and land in San Diego with a full scarf.
We got a knitting
section. We have a whole knitting section that comes with it.
We don't know how to knit. We don't know how to knit yet.
Wait, then why do you... So that's just...
What we're going to do is at the panel, we're all going, like, everyone in Zuda is... Well, you guys don't even know. Well, our idea is that everyone will wear the giant scarf as one. Because that's exactly what we started with. We are a tight knit.
You're a tight knit.
Tight knit.
You with me in the back? You in the back?
Is it cool if then we run in and just pull the end of it and strangle you all?
Why would that be cool?
Oh, because our heads would fall.
I mean, that's what I'm asking before I get it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No one in their right mind would say that.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, strangle us.
You got to try.
Yeah.
Cool. Doc, let's talk to you about your trip, Secret Agent Man. Celebrating its 10th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Wow.
That's 10 years.
That's digested information.
I was
going to
say 100 years in webcomic terms, but so talk a little bit about the strip. Tell us about it and how it has changed over the past decade.
In the beginning, it was definitely, it was in a monthly that came out, every month. And it was two pages at a time. So it was a lot more sequential, a lot more kind of classic comic books. So I had kind of more space to tell stories. And, as it went on a few years later, the monthly basically transformed into a weekly. Suddenly I was working in a weekly format, a little bit smaller size, but bigger still than a daily. A couple years ago, I got picked up for syndication by United Features, and now I'm in this daily little kind of horizontal world. And,
trapped
it's a whole
in a
new
tiny
challenge. Kind of, yeah. Like you guys are saying, it's very, set it up, beef it up, get out, and it's very gag-oriented. But I don't like to just make it gag all the time. So it's kind of a challenge. And before, I used to have a lot more harsh language and more honest discussions about race and religion and gender or whatever.
And now you have more false discussions.
And now it's more, exactly. more layered, for the soccer mom crowd. And, just because you never know who's reading it. And, you could offend the wrong person so easily. So it's been a challenge, just kind of changing the tone of it.
Is that ever frustrating for you? Do you ever just want to write a secret strip on the side to get out all the other things you want to talk about?
I definitely have the rated R versions in my head all the time. and if ever there's a compilation that comes out that they'll allow me to do that, I'd love to sneak them in like that.
Do you feel like you're kind of selling out a little bit, whereas you're you're in a daily?
Hard hitting question.
You're you gotta water it down a little bit. You're like, man, this is bullshit.
I'm selling in.
That's cool.
That's good. That's really good. Let's take a look at one of the strips you did, which is about Avatar: The Last Airbender. This is something that I guess is an issue,
right?
Because they're releasing the movie. It has Asian characters in the manga and the anime, but who's directing it? M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh yeah,
I think.
Shooting right now.
Yeah, and all of the actors in the movie are Caucasian.
The main guys are all white actors, and they kind of gave and made the main bad guy, whose name I can't remember right now, is Chai Yun Fat.
The
they put him in there, so they're like, "You happy? You happy?" And so the Asian community is still like, "No," they got all the rest of these people. It's like, "Yeah, but we got this guy from
we got this one Asian that everyone knows. Everyone knows this Asian."
It's all the side characters, and it's just kind of infuriating. But in a way, to try to shove that down someone's throat isn't gonna do anything. You kind of got to play along, and so the strip kind of talks about it in a much more mainstream kind of way, and because Asian American community stuff is so narrow and so small, but if it's important enough to me, I'll bring it out to the mainstream, and that's always a good thing to be able to do.
Did you get any response from this? Did M. Night Shyamalan come to your door and be like, "Hey, it's Twist, shut up"?
Wow.
There's a couple of websites, actually. I think one's called racebending.org or something like that. They're specifically against this movie, or trying to change it. They're not against the movie. They're trying to make it better, just more legit. And I've gotten thanks kind of, you know, emails from them. And the funny one about this is the last panel I got some guy reminding me of it was a comedy show, I guess, down in Atlanta, The Damn Show, I think it was called, and they had a thing called the Gooks of Hazzard.
Wow.
I thought it first. I didn't work, I swear. But, you know.
And he was like, don't you dare rip off this $1 million ideal, the Gooks of Hazzard.
Justin, you're a big Avatar fan.
Huge Avatar fan. Well, yeah, it's ridiculous to take something that was very specifically a certain way and to be like, well, we just want to take the popularity and cast it the way they cast it. And M. Night Shyamalan doesn't have a great track record for being good. So if he fucks it up with the casting and also the movie, that's a double terrible.
I think you should just stick to commercials, man.
Appearing in commercials?
Yeah, I love that American Express commercial.
Interesting, yeah.
This is his first film that he is directing but didn't write, though. This is going to be his test. Because I think he was signed for 3 movies originally, and then they were like...
It was originally going to be a trilogy.
The last movie stunk.
Yeah, but the bad guy is a Fire Lord, right? Okay, so you can still beat him with water.
True, and that's his theme.
So we're all good people, don't worry. Cool, we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. First thing we're going to talk about is 100 Bullets, number 100, which is the last issue of the series. Pete, you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah. If I may say beforehand,
He said Pete.
That doesn't mean I grabbed it. And I brought it here.
You did.
And I'm talking. But the thing is, so each issue is like a bullet, right?
Wow! That's what you stopped it for? You
didn't expect. I didn't expect to be called out! Carry on.
If I may, I have an amazing pun! No, this, what was fantastic...
Very fucking good.
Well, I'm just telling you about the comic.
I'm
not doing zingers. I'm not,
I'll do hand zingers.
You do.
I mean, I will.
You
you're right, I
you
do.
You were saying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's nice about this is, they set out to make it 100 issues. They accomplished their task. They had the same writer, the same artist throughout the whole thing. So, because sometimes we read a comic and they change creative teams a little bit, it's upsetting. It's amazing that it stuck together for all 100 issues. I think they did a fantastic job. The
yeah,
last
it's definitely
issue,
better than 1,000 Knives, which...
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
No, they got like 12. you don't want to bust his balls. I was like,
hey, Alex, or hey, Justin, and then he interrupted.
The idea of 1,000 Knives is each issue, somebody gets...
Now he's on a tear.
1,000 untraceable knives, and they're like, too many knives.
Yeah. Unless they were on a catering company. They're like, thank you.
Thank you.
Did you read all 100 issues?
Yes. I would highly recommend this. I feel like it's very violent and enjoyable.
A lot of people don't take violent as a good thing.
Really?
Have you guys read 100 Bullets?
I've been waiting actually until it was done. Big fan of Azzarello.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I read the first 3 trades or so, and then it's so dense, and there's so much going on in there that I felt like I kind of want to wait until the series is done to read the whole thing.
That's how I did Y, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I read the first trade, I read this issue, and I was like, I don't know what's going on.
So. I will say, having read this last issue and not knowing what was going on for the last 7 trades or so, you still get a sense that it's apocalyptic in nature. It's just huge. There's, as Pete is saying, an intense amount of violence. Everybody dies. You can feel what the stakes are for the characters, and I think that really comes out of Azzarello's
writing. Do you feel like it earned it? Did it earn its sad, depressing ending?
I don't know.
I haven't read it.
I mean, I don't know that.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
It's nice to have a curtain, which usually means the end of something.
Thank you. Wow. Cool.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah, probably. Pick it up and read it backwards. It works just as well. All right, next thing we're going to talk about, Amazing Spider-Man number 591. This was actually on the cover of AM New York.
Wow! I don't know why that's a selling point. It was on the cover of AM New York.
How often do comics make any newspaper?
Well... it's happening more often, which is very enjoyable.
So you yeah. like the fact
yeah,
that
yeah. yeah, fine.
It's a popular newspaper.
Yeah, it's free.
It's freaking free.
I'm really upset at the fact that this comic is dealing exactly with what the last one was. They're sitting around talking about Spider-Man taking his mask off again. That's like, why are we still dealing with this?
Well,
why?
They're dealing with it because the way they did it, where they pulled all the identity stuff back, they want... Oh, look how he's holding it. He's your friend. Also, he's your friend. He's your friend. Careful, he's your friend.
Oh, my God. I'm
sure I roll it.
Yes! What are you doing right now? What are you doing?
Pete in that comic book, that's like a voodoo doll of Pete right now. He feels everything. He feels everything.
Jesus Christ. That's someone's art, man.
And that's a comic book he hates.
Don't even touch the ones he likes. He has an orgasm.
I thought this was really good. DevSlot did a really good job here dealing with the thing.
What?
Which is...
Let him
finish. Which is Spider-Man's identity. We still don't know how it works. In this issue, he seems to imply that the deal that Spider-Man and Mary Jane made with the devil, Spider-Man knows what's going on, which is a very strange and actually, I think, kind of interesting plot twist going on here.
I don't think we need to explain any of this. I would have been much happier if he just used this two-issue arc to... again, reveal his identity to the Fantastic Four so that we don't have to get back into the continuity, because that continuity wasn't rebooted for a story decision. It was rebooted to move it back, to retcon it. And now to make it part of a bunch of stories and be like, oh, this is, if I take it off, then they remember this part about my life. It's messy, I think. And
to be fair, we already kind of knew exactly what the story was.
True. At a New York Comic Con, we were talking to Dan Slott when he was signing Artist Alley or something. And he was like, you guys want to hear a story? And then he literally, for the next 20 minutes, told us everything that happened in the last two issues of
Yeah, except for the last page. But then we were like, oh, this is a good... Oh, you're still going. Okay, yeah. All right, oh, this is a good story. This
Real
good story.
Talker, Dan Slott. Yeah.
No, I love Dan Slott as a writer. I just feel that, like, why are we spending two issues being, like, dealing with Spider-Man? He already had this big thing where it was the Superhero Registration Act. He was the first superhero to step forward, pulled off his mask, said, hi, everyone, I'm Peter Parker. His freaking aunt gets shot over the whole deal. That's the whole reason.
We know the story.
Well, some people don't. That's the whole point of the secret identity. Then other superheroes are like, you know what, you should take off your mask. And he's like, fuck you, bro, I'm a superhero. It's the whole deal. That's why we wear masks. Why am I going to... Come on, man, we're superheroes. We're buddies.
You're talking about New Avengers.
No, yeah, and then this issue, actually,
and the fact in this one, it's just, why are we still dealing with this? It's stupid.
And then what happens?
So then he takes it off, and they're like, "Hey, Parker, what's up?"
And then they're all friends. The interesting part of this issue was the fact that Spider-Man has been out of New York for 2 months because they were in this in the macroverse, in this pocket universe, or whatever. And so now 2 months have gone by without him, and we'll see where it puts him. That's cool, and I'm looking forward to reading about that.
Yeah. All right, cool. I'm glad we talked about that. Would you say pick it up?
You're being sarcastic. I don't know. Do you want me to answer? Yes. Yes, you are.
Did I want you to?
This guy's real mysterious.
You have no idea.
Just pick up the next arc. I think that's where it'll pick up.
Should you?
God, real mystery.
Yep, you know it. All right, let's move on and talk about Fables in number 83, which is the kicking off of the Great Fables crossover. What do you guys think?
Well, it's got great in the title, so.
Why did
I thought this was I was about to say great. This was
see.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. Fables is always good. This is a fun issue of Fables. The amount of crossover in this issue is Jack Fables calls them on the phone and is like, "Hey, this crossover is about to happen," and they're like, "All right, awesome," and then they go on with the rest of the issue.
Yeah.
So it's not much of a crossover in this one, but I think it's fun that a publishing firm like Vertigo is doing something like this. I don't know what it's like.
Why did that get weird at the end?
He said firms. He doesn't like.
Anyways, I thought this was awesome. A fantastic, huge beast fight scene in the beginning. I mean, what's not to love about that? I thought it was very interesting that, like, these two guys who are normal people and then turn into these rabid animals, start fighting each other, and then the wives are like, we'll break this up. I was like, man, that takes some balls to step in like that. Like,
well, that's like you two, when you two get into it and your wives have to step in.
I don't know if I'd do that. I'm just saying, like, if a giant monster was fighting a giant werewolf, I don't know, I'd be like, hey, guys, why don't we talk about this for a little
bit? Well, I mean, if you were
a wife. If you knew them, I think you could step into the middle.
Really?
Yeah. real deep.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't step into a stranger's fight.
Or a strange werewolf's fight.
Right, but if you knew the werewolves, you would step into the fight.
What if you were married to the werewolf?
I'm not a date Harry J.
Thank you for saying
I
so.
Don't date Harry J.
Sorry, Harry J. He won't be meeting you after.
Need not apply.
There's one Bigfoot girl in the back just being like,
right. Oh, that's shame. I take it back. I'll date a werewolf.
Real easy to convince over here.
Hey, give me $1 million.
Broken.
This is working really well. All right, let's go out and talk about Punisher number 4. One load back. Amazing. Look, here's my problem with the series. I'll get this out of here right now.
You're an asshole.
Rick and Morty.
I know what he's going
to say. Maybe he said it's not published enough. What if he said that?
I was about to say it's too good.
See?
You weren't going to say that.
No. Rick Remender's doing a great job writing this title. It's a lot of fun. Here we're having the Punisher about to go up against the Hood, who is in charge of all the super criminals of the Marvel Universe. But I don't feel like there's any stakes. And I know there's a certain thing in superhero comics that we know that, you know, Superman's never going to be killed, Spider-Man's never going to be killed. But when you have the Punisher taking on big characters right now, like Sentry, Norman Osborn, Hood, nothing is going to happen to either of them of lasting damage because they're appearing in so many other titles.
Well, right.
Since when did you grow this, like, hey, this isn't real? They're not going to really kill each other. That's been the rule the whole time we've been reading comics.
Why did you say grow? Like, you said it, when did he grow that? Like, it was like a sack.
Like, I don't know, man. I feel like...
To be fair, my fantasy sack was removed.
It's a tragic accident. A unicorn hit the fantasy sack. Get it removed. Real tragic.
I was in surgery with those werewolves for an hour.
Yeah, I know. But he fell in love with a werewolf woman, and that's why it's so offensive what you said.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're really crossing my lines.
It happens every single day. You should check out my strip, Secret Werewolf Man.
Checking that out here first.
Nice. I actually like this issue a lot.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying about the stakes, but... The reason I don't like the Punisher is because there aren't stakes anytime. It's always like, who's he gonna shoot? Right?
He's gonna shoot bad guys.
Yeah, right. Okay. I think we all know that though, right?
Right.
We're all cool. Okay, so there are no stakes anyway, the Punisher. At least Rick Remender's writing interesting stories to how he gets the bullets from his gun to his people. He doesn't just point at them and shoot. He has to like hide and then jump up.
Yeah, it's a whole strategy.
Yeah, it's a real strategy.
Yeah.
So I am like Pete, and that means I'm an idiot. It's funny, that makes you happy. I just insulted you. But I do like this. I think this is a good series. I liked it, the Punisher's back in the Marvel Universe doing this stuff.
This isn't the Punisher one where he's in Philadelphia killing reporters or whatever? No?
What?
I just read something on NewsRound the other day. He's Punisher's in Philadelphia. He's killing reporters and mobsters.
We will be inside Philadelphia comic news.
Yeah, cool.
I think this was just
the news to us.
That may be an actual Punisher.
A lot of murders in Philly.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, let's move on and talk about Mysterious the Unfathomable, number 4. This series is excellent, and I was totally bummed to find out today that it is only a 6-issue series. Very disappointing. But for those of you who aren't reading it, it's basically about a magician who acts like a charlatan magician, but is possibly the only real magician in the universe, pretty much.
Yeah, one of a few. This is good. There's a lot of... This is kind of like Dr. Seuss meets comic book, basically.
Yeah.
He walks into a world populated by demons who speak only in rhymes.
I was wondering where you're going with this.
That's what happens.
Essentially, what he finds out is this Dr. Seuss like character wrote stories. The made up words and the ridiculous rhymes are essentially demonic chants to summon demons into our dimension. And so they end up visiting a Dr. Seuss world. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that's what's great about this comic. It's very creative. It's a lot of fun. Every issue is a little different from the last. It does a great job of exploring the world of, like, magic and rules. Like, he rides, it's funny because in the first issue, he gets on a train, but he turns the train into, like, an old-timey train. It's just fun, creative stuff that they do in this.
I think that tale's kind of a Marsupilami reference. Anybody with me on that?
Nope.
Cool.
Thanks for checking in, though.
Yeah, I like to check in. Disney cartoon, all right. Mid-90s.
Nice. Definitely pick that up.
Yes. Definitely.
All right, let's move to the Aristocats of the Marvel Universe.
Thank you. What? Thank you.
I don't know. I'm throwing up one for Justin.
Yeah,
Uncanny X-Men number 508. I've been a little critical. I think we've all been a little critical of Matt Fraction's
book. I've been with it the whole time, because I believe... Matt Fraction, if I can make a strong statement, Matt Fraction is setting up his Chris Claremont-esque run on Uncanny X-Men. And it took a lot of setup, and this is the first issue that's really kind of moving everything forward, and it's going to be a landmark run.
That's bullshit.
Whoa!
This comic is like Femme Force.
Isn't that world?
The naughty team. It's ridiculous.
But they're pretty naughty, though.
Yes, they are.
Thank you.
Okay, so there's the Sisterhood of Evil Mutants is essentially what Fraction has been setting up, and they finally attack in this issue. The thing that I have not been crazy about with Matt Fraction's run is I feel like it's been very fragmented. He often has two or three stories
kind
working
of
at the same
Fraction.
You know. Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Boothman just barfed in the middle of the line.
It finally comes together and really feels like the action movie version of the X-Men. Obviously, there has been an action movie version of the X-Men, but
it was a movie.
Right, three or four of them, actually. Yeah. I think.
There's a new one coming out in like a couple weeks.
Never heard of it.
You can download it now.
Don't do that.
But it's not finished.
Yeah, it's not finished. You can add your own scenes, though. That's the fun part about it. You can remix it.
DIY,
yeah.
Man.
iTunes editor. Yeah. Get rid of all the crummy parts.
Yeah. I've actually put my head on Wolverine's
head. I've done that, too.
Great cut. I think that's the one they're releasing, is the one with your head on Wolverine.
Well, I spent like $50 million.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. Hey, better. Someone better release that.
This is great. Uncanny X-Men, excellent. Across the board, this really feels... like it's driving, like it's pushing something forward. There's funny scenes. There's a great scene with Wolverine, Northstar, and Aurora in there that really redeems every stupid, horrible thing people have done to Northstar in the past couple years, which includes killing him like 5 times in a row.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. They brought him back, and they were like, look, there's a gay X-Men. Everyone's like, oh, cool. And they murdered him literally like 9 times. And now Matt Fraction's finally being like, all right. Let's just be cool.
Let's not
chill out a little bit.
Let's not murder him for several issues.
Yeah,
this is great. I definitely think pick this up.
Definitely.
What
is your reason besides the number of women?
Okay, well, first of all,
that's not a fact. That's not necessarily.
I like women. I feel like the femme force is a little much, and then it's got the random three naughty sisters that I've been reading this book forever, and I don't even know who they are.
They're not naughty.
They're three identical schoolgirls. Thank you.
Just because they look alike doesn't mean they're naughty. They're just people.
So you're saying three blonde, identical twin schoolgirls in the little outfits?
No, you have a fetish. This doesn't mean they're naughty. They are actually schoolgirls. They're just schoolgirls.
No, they're not.
They are schoolgirls.
Ridiculous.
No, it's not. They are. Just because you think it's weird and you want to have a weird fetish in them doesn't mean it's weird. People have triplets.
So they
and those
like,
triplets.
No. So they're like, oh, let's get some regular schoolgirls in there. But let's make them blonde and always wear the schoolgirl uniform.
They are in school. They're in school. What should they wear? What should they wear? Suits? Blankets? You, I know what you like. I know, you know what he likes.
Yeah. So let's go out and talk about the strange adventures of H.P. Lovecraft, number one. Big news about this is before the first issue was even published, Ron Howard optioned it to direct a movie version of this book. So how is it? Is it worth the hype, you guys?
Well, there have been so many stories about H.P. Lovecraft and how he is, like, in the middle of demons, all it or was throughout his whole career. And I think it's weird that he optioned this one, which is kind of just the newest one about that.
There you go. That's why. I actually actively thought this was kind of bad, personally.
Yeah.
Why? Sorry. Actually, I didn't think it was too bad.
I think it does come down to that reason of it's not just H.P. Lovecraft, but there's an intense amount of stories about... Oh, there's Charles Dickens, but he really lived in poverty. That was a terrible first example.
He did live in poverty.
That's why it was a terrible first example.
You're talking about Helen Keller, I think.
Yeah, like Helen Keller or Sir Arthur Conan Doyle really solved mysteries or something like that. You can do that very easily with any particular author and put them there. Or C.S. Lewis actually went to a magical world or some... What? We'll talk
about
it.
Yeah.
That's that man's dream.
So it feels very unoriginal to me, and H.P. Lovecraft spends the entire first issue moping and whining and kicking things and being sad and upset, and is not a very interesting hero at all.
Yeah.
There's some boobs, though.
True.
There are some boobs, which is very naughty, I would say.
Pete, what'd you think of those boobs? Did you like them? I didn't think this was that bad. I feel like it's actually a well... the story is kind of weak, but I think the dialogue's well written.
Sure.
And that maybe would appeal to Mr. Howard.
The whole thing seems very much plotted like a movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have...
There's even an intro, a very clear kind of movie intro.
Exactly. And you have the bookworm is in love with a girl at a library that you can never get. It felt like it was derivative of a million things to me.
Yeah.
I kept reading it and being like, why would you pick this up? I don't understand.
Huh. Well, here's the thing. It says 499 cents.
I paid in pennies too. I was like,
smart. Very Dickensian of you.
I got it by begging. I don't know. I didn't have really a good thing to say there. Let's move on and talk about Overlook number one. This is great because I didn't know Frank Miller was back on Sin City.
Oh! Yeah!
Douchebag.
Pete, this is your...
Yeah, this was my pick of the week, all right? Yes. Yes,
that's something we do now.
Don't act so defensive.
Well, you know, you guys were all pointing at me and shit. So.
You liked it.
No, I
liked you.
Don't start. So this is... I thought this was very enjoyable. It's kind of a story about a guy who gets the shit kicked out of him all the time. I can relate to that. And it's,
tell me why.
I'm just going to lose it. Start pummeling you in a minute.
Then I'd be like this guy.
Yeah. Exactly. And then we'd have something in common. But I like the black and white artwork. I'm a sucker for black and white stuff, and so apparently it's a ripoff of Frank Miller. I didn't realize till numerous people just recently pointed it out to me. I didn't make that connection, and then now it's kind of obvious, so.
You can still like it.
It's ruined for me. Thanks a lot, guys.
I mean, for what it is, I don't think it's terrible. I mean, it is very, very derivative of Sin City, down to a guy that's been beaten so badly that he has a roughed up face, he's sick to death about a dame, gets caught in over his head. You know, it's hard-boiled stuff. It's been done a million times, but it's not badly done here.
Yeah, hard-boiled stuff.
I think my comment on the artwork was, it looked like somebody was tracing somebody who likes to draw like Frank Miller.
Wow, double drip. Oh.
It's third generation.
You were literally getting beat up.
Yeah. Yep.
Does that make you identify closer with the character?
Yes. That's what I said earlier.
You're a lot like a Frank Miller drawing.
All right. Well, that's it for the stack. Here's our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Bad.
Booth
Bad!
Hey, guys. Hey, Booth Bad. There was a lot of really good questions.
Oh, no.
Really hard.
Thank you.
He lives in the booth. That's why he looks like that.
Yeah, with my face.
Wow.
All right. So the first question is for... how much of your personal life
has influenced your comic?
It's almost entirely semi-autobiographical.
Semi, almost.
So
what does that mean? Explain that difference. It's 25%.
It's well, the names are changed. Some of the, almost all the characters are based on friends, people I know or family, but in some cases I've combined them to make that person who's prone to do this, and just kind of condensed it all.
What's this strip going to be like about tonight? The semi part.
I like to think about it a little bit more.
All right. Okay.
All right. Now
get back to us.
You'll see it.
Jim, do you think that's cheating a little bit? Just taking people.
He's angry. Careful.
He's kind of like drawing on your experience is cheating. Talk about something, I guess, that was from your life that maybe you wrestled with a little bit putting in a strip.
I mean, in the beginning, it was definitely more, it was straight out of a diary kind of thing. Things growing up in New York City in Chinatown and, being one of the only Japanese kids growing up, surrounded by Chinese kids where you look the part, but you're not the part, and it becomes painfully obvious in certain times. One time when I had a really good friend whose house I used to go to all the time, and one day his mom just did not want me in the house. And I had no idea why, and I thought I was just being, loud or obnoxious. And turns out, later I find out, not knowing history back then, Chinese people of that generation did not like Japanese people. And so once she found out I was Japanese,
oh, wow,
I don't want you in my house.
For at
no
all?
Idea.
At
no.
all.
Well, I mean, I could play with the kid, but I just couldn't come over.
Yeah. Wow.
The kid didn't care.
Sounds like a funny strip.
Yeah. And that's definitely one of the big critiques I get, is sometimes the strips just aren't funny.
Yeah. Trying to bring back that Gooks of Hazzard. That's a real, seems like a real winner.
Raise your hands if you ask that piece going to bring you a present.
Yeah.
And let's get the next question, please.
What is your favorite food and how has it inspired your comics?
Favorite food?
How has it inspired your comics?
Oh, okay, that's. I just was looking.
You
for
come food. Back after
let's
last.
Go right down. Let's go this way.
All right, my favorite food is probably mozzarella sticks.
Good one. Good one.
Wow. That's not as good.
No, no, it's too tasty.
They're very good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Man, I can't. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of. No, I'm sorry.
Is there anything?
I can't think of a single clever thing to make
from mozzarella sticks.
Mozzarella sticks. I'm like,
I
went with my original, my real favorite food, but I don't know how to talk
about it. Well, I know some people, sometimes have like a ritual. Like they'll always, get a whole pizza and then come do a live comic book show, that sort of thing.
Thank you.
Do you guys have anything like that?
We wake up every morning, we brew two pots of coffee back to back.
Black coffee is very inspired your comic.
Cream and sugar is for quitters.
Yes!
I agree with you completely.
And then we get to work from there. My favorite food is ketchup. And
that's not a food, dude.
Well, ask Ronald Reagan and you'll find out the
it's a vegetable.
It's vegetable. It's vegetable.
You guys have really developed taste.
We're a duo. I bring the ketchup, he brings the mozzarella sticks.
Man, I would. You're a cheap date. You're a cheap group date.
One of these.
We're comic book writers?
Yeah, right.
And,
I don't know what the favorite would be, but every time I come to visit my parents back in New York here, she makes curry rice, which is definitely up there on the top of my list. Japanese style curry on top of a huge thing of rice.
And how is that played into your?
I don't know. It's kind of comforting, I guess.
Wow.
It's in that comfort place.
Pete, what's your favorite?
What the fuck? We're seriously going around saying our favorite food. I'm sorry, I was handing out comics. I missed what the question was.
Especially
this show. I didn't realize this was happening. Why don't you go next?
Favorite food?
Yeah.
My favorite food.
Not an easy question.
I will say, Pete, every time before the show, he has a Subway sandwich.
Yeah,
That's right.
That's usually the meatball set.
Every time before the show, I have a salad from a guy in Galard.
Yeah, and I eat all pizza. Cool. Rachel, after you ask that, Pete's going to bring you a gift, and let's get the next question.
If you were a supporting character, how would you be killed off?
Oh, man, that's a real... Yeah. I'm not a supporting character.
But if you were, how would you be killed off?
I don't know. The way Bucky died is pretty awesome. Like, how do you beat that?
Right? I don't know.
I would like to die that way.
You like
were
to be
a tiny sidekick.
Cool.
I'm not that, right?
Pete, how would you like to be killed off if you were a supporting character?
I kind of like the way John Travolta died in the Thomas Jane Punisher. I thought that was awesome. He was shot and then dragged by a car that was lit on fire and then blown up. And then your carcass was used to form a flaming skull. That's how I'm going to go out.
I guess it'll be my job to make that happen.
These were Pete's last wishes.
Yeah. Sorry, LePages. We have to do this.
We have to set his skull on fire. Wow, that's a good question. If I was a supporting character, how would I want to be killed off? I don't know.
Here, we'll come back to you.
Really? You guys haven't thought about this?
That was the most... That's an in your will.
Have any supporting characters died of old age?
Yeah. I
don't
know that.
That's what I was wondering.
I want one day from retirement and with some kind of like hook where you didn't see the body so I can come back.
That's lame.
Oh, that's lame. I want to be in the
lame.
Sequel.
That's lame.
I want to be
that's
in the
lame.
Sequel.
That's lame.
Enjoy your one picture deal.
he has expendable Reynolds t-shirt.
Flashbacks. There's flashbacks.
Flashbacks.
They can bring me back.
That's true. There's flashbacks.
Right.
What is right. Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction 2.
Pulp Fiction 2.
Search for curly.
I guess Marvel zombieified. That would be bad, right?
You want to be eaten by zombies?
Yeah, eaten by zombies, and then I'm just a head. That would be nice.
You want to be undead?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
yeah. All right. Okay, fine. Chopped in half and fed to sharks.
Yeah! Yeah!
All right, raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you a gift. And that?
It's up to you.
That is it for the audience questions.
Wow.
Woo! Oh, thank you. It is now time for a section we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
There we go. First thing we are going to talk about. Big news this week. Free Comic Book Day is coming up in 2 very short weeks, even less than that, actually. And as you can see from this picture here, the Marvel Free Comic Book Day book, Avengers, is slightly smaller than usual. This was a big issue for some reason. Why were people so upset about this?
Well... It seems a little bit smaller.
Well, I think the reason people might get upset is they're saying, well, are we getting gypped?
It feels like it comes on the heels of Marvel raising the prices and people having less money.
Exactly.
And all this being smaller.
Yeah, that is the little caveat there is, but it's free. You're not getting gypped out of anything. You're getting a free comic.
I agree. I think it's crazy.
Well, at least they're releasing, you know, new comics for Comic Book Day. A lot of people just kind of give, like, reprints of stuff that's already...
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Is this bad, good, doesn't matter?
Size matters when you're paying for it, but don't look a free comic in the mouth, you know?
Right.
Take hit and run.
It can be applied to
lots of things.
Lots of stuff.
Though, do you think this is, I mean, maybe people are afraid that if this is successful, if they go out and get a lot of free Comic Book Day comics, then they're going to start making smaller comics in general.
I think that we're seeing like a little bit of experimentation with the size in general. I mean, DC's doing the Weekly Wednesday comics, which are going to be tabloid size, I think, like a newspaper strip. And I always remember getting those big Alex Ross painted ones, the Superman piece, Batman, War on Crime, whatever. And then the tabloid tabloid or digest style stuff sells so well for like Tokyo Pop and all, like diversification. Let Marvel like try it out. Maybe is it more digest size or is it way smaller?
It's about halfway between a regular size comic book and a digest.
Oh, so they just cut the corners, they're not really experimenting with stuff.
Yeah, they actually, it was a full-size comic book, and then they cut off the top of the stuff.
Yeah, big scissors. How much of the money are they saving on this? I don't know. It seems like, why generate all this bad PR?
It could be significant, though, like because I work in a newspaper, and you know, just hearing newspapers cutting trim size, you know, 1/8 of an inch, and people are up in arms, could significantly reduce cost.
So it does mean it means
depending on
to
how
them.
It's printed, yeah.
Yeah. And especially you're spending what it's Jim Cheung doing the art and Brian Bendis writing it. So you're already to get them to do a new comic for free, which you're getting no return on your investment. You got to save money where you can, I guess. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I just hope they don't start doing that, because it's. It would suck if you're buying bags and boards, then it means you have to buy a different size just for these.
I think you're literally the only person buying bags and boards.
That can't be true.
Next thing we're going to talk about is another issue with a cover. I don't know how many of you saw this in DC Books this week. Can we bring it down a little bit? This is an ad for James Robinson's JLA series. I don't know if you notice anything weird about this.
This seems kind of naughty. It's not really bad, am I right?
Yeah, but obviously people were a little up in arms because
the atom is only peeking around the side there.
Exactly. What is the deal? They cut off the back half of the atom.
Yeah.
Also, Green Lantern and Green Arrow would never stand that close.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we talked about this. What do you guys think about this?
Well, it's weird because Superman grew breasts.
Yeah, real big continuity shift there. I don't know. I definitely, when I first saw this, I was like, that's a weird way to draw a picture. That's a weird, why do it that way?
I think beyond anything, it's just a really strange layout for,
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. It's just so obvious what they were going for here.
Yeah, and I know how breasts look, and that's a weird way to make breasts.
You know what breasts look like.
I'll draw a picture. A better after the show.
Nice.
So yeah, it's just a very weird way to promote the book.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
Is it cropped from a larger image? Is it supposed to not be revealing something like Galactus is in the sky?
She's a metal face.
No, that's, yeah. That's literally, that's revealing a lot of
maybe things. Maybe she also has breasts for a face.
No, that's still twice as many pounds. She should really include that.
It looks like the middle panel of a 3-page Jim Lee gatefold.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I guess open this way.
Right.
Yeah, the sexiest way.
Cool.
Yeah, I just think it's weird, and they're trying to promote the book this way without telling you anything about it. So it seems like people are going to be like, oh, that's where those breasts came from.
That's actually JLA. The title of the first arc is JLA, oh, that's where those breasts came from.
That's a good teaser, then.
Yeah, there you go.
Kudos to DC.
Yeah, hooray for DC.
You don't have a problem with this?
Yeah, I do.
You're way more silent on it than the totally non-offensive
schoolgirl thing.
Well, I got ripped to fucking shreds.
That's why you're crazy. So say what you're gonna say.
It looks like it was taken from a shorter person's point of view. This is how short people see schoolgirls. They just see boobs and then people in the distance.
See, that's I agree with you on that.
And that's it for the Week in Geek! All right, I think it's time for our next episode, which is trivia, and for that we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right!
Mr. Pete LePage.
So this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card from Midtown Comics. So who would like the chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. $25 free. Yes, you, sir. Come on down.
Nice.
What's your name?
Pete.
Pete? Audience? Wow. Audience Pete.
Wow.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Pete. Nice.
I don't know.
All right, so here's the gift card that...
Should I just take that now?
No. You got to work for it, all right? You got to earn it, the $25 free.
I don't know if you call it work.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so this is how it's going to work. You have 3 questions. You get all 3 right. You go 3 for 3. Gift card yours. Listen to the question. All 3 possible answers. Choose the correct one. Here we go. Okay, today's trivia is going to be on Secret Asian Man. Thank you, Booth Man. Tak, the creator of Secret Asian Man, is the creative director for Boston's Weekly Dig, as well as, is it A, Boston's Lighter Side magazine, B, Beer Advocate magazine, or C, I can't believe she's wearing that outside magazine. So it's either A, Boston's Lighter Side magazine, which doesn't make any sense, or B, Beer Advocate magazine.
I'm going to go B.
He's correct.
Yeah.
One for one. Here we go.
All right.
In the comic strip, what is the name of Sam's or secret Asian man's child? Is it A, Shu, B, Shin, or C, Old Dirty Bastard? So it's either A, Shu, or B, Shin.
I'm going to go with B again.
Oh, man! Two for two! In the latest Sam comic strip, Secret Asian Man.
Okay.
What kind of world would it be? Hang on. It'll be explained more as I read on. What kind of world would it be if a Red Sox fan rooted for the Yankees in the latest strip? What kind of world would it be? Would it be a bizarro world? A, B, Earth 22. That's a really geeky reference. Or C, a crappy world that no one would like. So it's easy. I don't know.
Wait,
if you're
is
right.
There, is there a correct answer?
There is.
Tricky question.
This was actually in the latest strip.
Okay.
It was a reference. Was it a reference to A, Bizarre World, or B, Earth 22? I would
go the question was so long we ran out of music.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna say A.
Correct. Bizarre World.
Thank you.
$25 free, sir.
Good. Nice. All right. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
I'm going to say Scalped.
Oh, boy.
Why are you going to say Scalped?
That's a good answer.
Because Aaron's doing an amazing job with the writing, and it's a cool comic.
Cool. I'm going to say the next issue of X-Force, the crossover with Cable's been very good. I've been liking it a lot. Definitely picking up.
Great. I'm going to say Dark Reign Electra number 2. We were pretty blown away by the first issue, and I'm really looking forward to the second, which is very surprising.
Because of my t-shirt, I'm picking Star Trek. But is it old? Is it original series? Or
is it Countdown?
What is on...
Countdown is
what's being released right now.
I think it's original series.
Yeah, the countdown was.
If they're remembering the film, I guess, then that would make more sense.
The countdown was the lead up to the movie, but that finished a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
But it was a good series.
Yeah. I don't have John.
Spider-Man 2099 trade paperback and the Blue Beetle trade paperback.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. And plug where people can find Black Cherry Bombshells.
Black Cherry Bombshells. .com.
Awesome.
Stay practice that.
We drove up.
And on MySpace too, MySpace comics.
Yeah.
And MySpace.com.
Oh, do you guys have anything else coming up that you're working on that you want to plug?
Nothing we can plug.
Yeah.
We are doing the 48-hour film festival where the writers, we have a Philly team in a couple of weeks, and so that'll be on the web in a couple more weeks from that.
Cool.
So. And San Diego, look for our blogs as we head to the Comic Con.
Good luck with the knitting, dude.
Thank you. Yeah.
Knitting section. There's a Tick compilation that's coming out on there, and it would be fun to look at how horrible, because I used to work on the book, to see how horrible my artwork was.
What do you want to plug?
Let's see. I mean, secretasianman.com, you can always check out the strips there, or comics.com. And look for Secret Asian Man, which is like the big United Features site. I think this week, actually, Secret Identities, which is the Earth's first Asian American superhero comic anthology, is coming out. And basically, the short story is we just grabbed a bunch of Asian American cartoonists, comic artists, put together stories that have Asian American superhero lead characters, and like guys like Greg Pak and Bernard Chang and Cliff Chang and Larry Hama, a bunch of big names are in the book, and it's out. I think it is this week. So if you go to Amazon right now, and I think it's available at Borders as well. Hard copy.
Cool. Awesome. Great. Well, we will definitely check that out.
Yeah.
A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we are going to have Jeff Rubin and Pat Castles, hosts of College Humor's Bleep Bloop, a video game show, so we'll get in a big fight with them.
Yeah.
Also, you can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. We're going to do a video version of this show, so check that out as well. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Tony! Tony for being on the show.
Wow.
We want to thank Tony!
Yeah!
At 8 p.m. Usually I'm not as tongue-tied as this. Good night!
Good night, everybody!
Thank you.
Hey.